Funding for Here and Now Anytime comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at mathworks.com.
Hey there, it's Chris Bentley, host of Here and Now Anytime. Let me ask you a quick favor. It's easy, but important to me and everyone who works on this show. If you like that we're here every afternoon, bringing you fresh perspectives and insightful conversations on the big stories of the day, take 5 seconds and follow Here and Now Anytime, wherever you're listening to this podcast right now. And if you want to make us really happy and help other people find this show, leave us a good review. It really helps. And thanks. Now here's the show.
Everyone just broke out in cheers and smiles, and it was just a huge celebration and such relief as well. Voyager 1 was back.
Did you try turning it off and turning it back on again? NASA scientists pull off an interstellar IT rescue mission. It's Wednesday, April 24th, and this is Here and Now Anytime from NPR and WBUR Boston. I'm Chris Bentley. Today on the show, old technology is new again. We'll hear how scientists hacked a broken probe from the 70s as it hurtled through space 15 billion miles away. Also, instead of using huge container ships to move goods across the ocean, why not go old school? We'll go to the jungles of Costa Rica, where shipbuilders are raising a wooden schooner.
It has had the sweat of 250 people from all around the world working and bending the wood, assembling it.
Wind-powered shipping coming up in a few minutes. But first, the U.S. Chamber of Commerce and other big business groups are suing the Federal Trade Commission over a new rule banning non-compete agreements. Those are the clauses in job contracts that prevent employees from joining rival companies for some period of time. The FTC's ban on those clauses could make it easier for some 30 million American workers to change jobs. But business groups say companies need non-compete clauses to protect their intellectual property. For more on what all this means for you and for the economy, we called up Emily Birnbaum. She's a lobbying and legal affairs reporter for Bloomberg. She spoke to Tiziana Deering.
So let's jump into what the new rule will do. Does it ban all non-compete clauses?
Yeah, this new rule will ban for-profit employers from using any non-compete agreements in employment contracts, and it will apply retroactively. So employers will have to rescind their existing non-compete agreements. It's worth noting there's one big exception to the rule, which is it does not impact existing agreements with senior executives, which the FTC defines as somebody who makes more than $150,000 per year and has a public policy position. And it's worth emphasizing the rule doesn't ban non-compete agreements in the nonprofit sector because the FTC doesn't have authority there.
So just the for-profit sector. U.S. Chamber of Commerce, other big business groups backing this lawsuit, they say that the FTC doesn't actually have the authority to ban non-competes, does it?
This is the big question. So the FTC statute says they're empowered to prohibit what's called unfair methods of competition. So that means exploitative business practices. But it's questionable whether they actually have the authority to make rules on that subject. There was only one other time in the 1960s when the FTC passed a rule to clamp down on so-called unfair methods of competition. So Chamber of Commerce say they don't have this authority. They say it's a huge power grab. These are the questions that will be worked out in court in the months to come.
So you have reported, Emily, that nearly one in five Americans have jobs that required them to sign a non-compete agreement. One of the questions is where this new rule might hit big first. What industries might it hit big first?
A big one is healthcare. So tons of doctors and nurses have non-competes with other hospitals or big physician groups. Remember, it doesn't apply to nonprofits. So if it's a nonprofit hospital, it doesn't apply to them. But it's a huge industry. Finance is another major sector. So big deal for Wall Street, which relies on non-competes to keep their employees a lot of the time. Tech also has a lot of non-competes. So, for example, Amazon's been known to strongly enforce non-competes, even against lower-level employees like engineers. engineers when they go to competitors like Microsoft. But it's not just white-collar work. Non-competes are super common among hairdressers, unexpectedly. Essentially, they can be found throughout the workforce.
And I'll note that the FTC says right now some 30 million American workers are bound by non-competes. So if this new rule withstands legal challenges, what impact could it have on the economy? Could it help raise wages for workers?
The FTC says this ban could help raise wages as much as $400 billion over the next 10 years. And that's because people will be empowered to leave their jobs, negotiate higher salaries, because they're not always worried about being sued. The FTC also says they think this could help with business formation and increase the creation of startups by as much as 2.7%.
Emily, the big business groups who oppose the rule, they say that companies need non-compete clauses to protect trade secrets other than intellectual property. Is that the case?
Sure. Business groups like the Chamber of Commerce say if you have somebody who knows everything about your business, your customers, sales, internal processes, you don't want them to go across the street and blab about that to your biggest competitor and expose all of your internal machinations. And the FTC's argument in response is, we still have trade secret laws that people have to follow. And if you're really concerned, you can give workers what's called garden leave. So that's when you're still paying an employee salary, but they're technically on leave, so they can't go out and get another job. That's super common in industries like banking, where people have a lot of knowledge about trading partners. Banks will give people 3 to 6 months garden leave before they can take another job. So when they move, their information is less current and less relevant.
So briefly, what are other arguments for non-compete clauses, one or two?
Chamber of Commerce says that actually wages might be aided by non-compete agreements, that it helps keep businesses competitive, that it gives them an edge when they're trying to attract new employees. So there's an incentive, essentially, to bring on new workers and make conditions good. So the Chamber of Commerce is really serious about this. You know, they're producing studies, bringing on economists, and it's definitely going to be a big debate in court.
So I guess a big question, Emily, is when can we expect this new rule from the FTC to take effect?
Yeah, the rule is set to take effect in 6 months, so that would be sometime this fall. But because of all the legal challenges that could seriously delay its implementation, it's probably going to be quite a bit later.
All right. Emily Birnbaum is lobbying and legal affairs reporter for Bloomberg. Emily, thanks.
Thanks very much.
Coming up next, the shipping industry is dirty. In pursuit of a cleaner alternative to today's cargo ships, some companies are returning to wind power. After the break, we'll hear about a company in Costa Rica that's building a massive wooden schooner from scratch. Celeste Headley sets the scene after the break.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Humana. Your employees are more than your coworkers. They're the heartbeat of your business. That's why Humana offers modern group benefits designed to protect employees and their families with dental, vision, life, and disability coverage. Humana knows every employee and every business is unique. That's why they listen to your needs and build plans with you and your team in mind. That's the power of human care.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Rosetta Stone, the perfect app to achieve your language learning goals no matter how busy your schedule gets. It's designed to maximize study time with immersive 10-minute lessons and audio practice for your commute. Plus, tailor your learning plan for specific objectives like travel. Get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off and unlimited access to 25 language courses. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
If you need to move a dishwasher from a factory in Asia to a store in California, a container ship is the cheapest way to do it. These skyscrapers on the sea carried 11 billion tons of stuff around the globe in 2021. They're more efficient than trains, trucks, and planes. But they also produce about 3% of the world's emissions. Shipping by sea wasn't always this way. As part of our climate series, Reverse Course, Here and Now's Peter O'Dowd takes us to the Pacific side of Costa Rica. In a town called Punta Morales, the wind howls across the shoreline.
This wind is ancient, and it's magic to think that it could send ships across the ocean. And when it blows like this, you can feel its power against your body. You can understand the temptation to travel back in time to find a solution to a modern problem.
This is a very special place for a lot of people.
Alejandra Tehran works for Sail Cargo, a company trying to harness the wind for clean shipping. Its shipyard is a short walk from the beach, tucked into the shade of a tropical forest where the heat still feels like a weighted blanket. Each morning, the table saws roar to life. Mountains of lumber are scattered about like piles of overturned matchsticks. And just on the other side of a towering white guanacaste tree, the frame of a huge wooden sailboat comes into view.
Some people say that it's an art piece.
It is a marvel to see a ship this size out of the water perched on wooden blocks.
It has had the sweat of 250 people from all around the world working and bending the wood, cutting the wood, assembling it.
The ship's name is Seba. It's a three-masted topsail schooner, and co-founder Lynx Guimond is the French-Canadian carpenter responsible for building it.
The hull is not on yet, right? She's not sheathed on the outside, so you still see all the ribs, all the frames. Looks like a beached whale carcass, but beautifully crafted out of wood.
Well, it does. It also has... It's so big, it has a presence or an energy around it. Do you sense that?
Yes, of course, of course. Anybody who's been a sailor knows that your boat is a living being, right? It has its own soul. Shipbuilders, the best shipbuilders are also sailors, and vice versa.
Can we see it from
yes,
the inside?
Yes, of course, be my pleasure.
Let's do it,
let's go. Welcome on board.
I follow Guimond up the steps of a wooden scaffold, past solid beams of tamarind and Spanish cedar harvested in the nearby jungle. For every tree used to build this ship, Sail Cargo plants 25 more.
This is the stern of the ship, going up to the gangway.
Oh, wow. 30 feet up on the main deck, we can see the Pacific Ocean shimmering in the distance. I feel like a pirate. This is the cargo hold, right?
Yep.
Can we move down there?
Yes, absolutely.
Okay. And here is the reason I've come all this way. Inside the sweltering confines of the cargo hold, beads of sweat drip from my forearms. Guimond says Seba can carry 250 tons of freight, the equivalent of 9 containers.
Anything from coffee to cacao to electric vehicles, hopefully sustainable clients, but we can also ship tires or pineapples or whatever else.
whatever needs to go somewhere.
Yeah, exactly.
Across the ocean. The ship isn't finished yet, but already the company has a contract to move green coffee beans from Colombia to New Jersey. How much demand is there for the cargo space on a ship like this, do you think, around the world?
Oh my gosh, there's incredible demand. Ever since we've started, all we got is like, we have like a stack of letters of intent. The pile keeps growing. We're often approached by different types of businesses all over the world.
Why? What do they want? What do they see in this?
They want an ecological shipping solution, where shipping is like one of the most polluting elements of our planet today.
But Guimond says global businesses rely on dirty shipping because it's cheap.
We always say, what's the real price of cheap shipping? We're paying for it with our planet.
Sail Cargo predicts Seba's journey from Colombia to New Jersey will take about 4 days longer than a container ship. Electric batteries will give it a boost if the wind doesn't blow. But first, Sail Cargo needs another $2 million and 2 years of work before the ship is ready to sail.
I am a bit worried.
Stephen Woods is a sail freight expert watching Seba's progress with interest.
Because they have been under construction since like 2018. On a ship that a shipyard in Maine 100 years ago would have turned out in about 6 months.
By his count, there are about a dozen wind ships delivering freight around the world. But Sail Cargo is the only company building a wooden cargo schooner from scratch. Woods says that's tough to do. Banks are reluctant to finance. Plus, there's a shortage of sailors and shipbuilders.
Oh, if they succeed, it's fantastic. They're going to be sailing right into New York. They're going to be seen by a huge number of people. That would really be a huge kickstart to any of these types of projects.
In fact, Wood says there's just one boat doing this kind of work in the United States. On a warm April morning at a shipyard near the Hudson River, Captain Sam Merritt is slapping a fresh coat of paint on the schooner Apollonia.
It's 70 degrees right now, and it's like one of those spring days that remind us that summer's right around the corner.
All summer, Captain Merritt will sail the steel-sided Apollonia up and down the Hudson, carrying products like malted grain to local breweries on its way to New York City.
And it takes us about a week to get down and about a week to get up. So we're kind of like leapfrogging down and then back up the Hudson River, picking up cargo and dropping off cargo almost every day.
Just like Saba, the trip will take longer and cost more. But without using trucks to move the products, the Apollonia is clean. Most of its clients are right near the river, so Merritt's crew can use a bicycle and a trailer to move the cargo to its final destination. Apollonia has been sailing freight since 2020. Merritt says the economics are tough.
And I'll tell you why. I mean, it's simple, right? Paying for fuel is cheaper than paying for people. I need a crew of 4 to 6. It's more expensive to pay them a living wage than it is to just buy some fuel for a truck.
Apollonia carries at most 10 tons of cargo, a fraction of what Saba will carry in Costa Rica, and infinitesimally small compared to the 11 billion tons of freight that cross the ocean in a year. That's why massive container ships are the focus of the International Maritime Organization. Last year, the IMO set a goal to reach net zero emissions by 2050. Just slowing the ships down saves energy. And yes, even the biggest vessels on the planet can use sails to catch the wind.
And they operate like airplane wings. They're 37 meters high, absolutely ginormous.
Lauren Eatwell is head of wind wings at Bar Technologies. She says each wing saves a ton and a half of fuel every day.
What we're doing is using the power of the wind then to propel the vessel forwards. And the more power that comes from the wind, they back off the engine, so they use less fuel. And that reduces the carbon footprint.
According to the IMO, about 30 large commercial ships are using wind technology to reduce emissions, with more on the way. Eatwell believes future ships will use a combination of wind, clean fuels, and sleeker hulls to meet climate goals. And despite the difference in scale, she says there is a role for smaller projects like Saba and the schooner Apollonia.
I love it. I love the move back towards sailing. And I think there's room for these technologies across the market. There are all kinds of different vessels and purposes out there. All of these technologies are needed.
Back at the shipyard in Costa Rica, the sail cargo team is trying to finish one of those vessels as sustainably as they can. With Saba's frame looming in the distance, co-founder John Porras is banging away on a beatbox that's been made with leftover scraps of wood.
It's like the human is so close to understand that the best energy is from the nature.
For now, construction on the ship is paused while sail cargo raises more cash. The company is also looking for a new CEO after recent turnover in leadership. Porras is confident the project will succeed.
I will be the more happy guy in the world because this project is so hard. It's the maximum goal to show the world how the industry can change. So all the eyes of the country is in our project right now.
With a little more time, he says Saba is destined for the water.
It's not reggaeton, but it's tropical, maybe.
For Here and Now, I'm Peter O'Dowd.
If you missed the other stories Peter and I have been doing all week on cleaning up the transportation sector, scroll back to Monday's and Tuesday's episodes when we reported on electric planes, sustainable aviation fuel, and battery-powered semi-trucks.
People have asked me lately, what happened to you, Mike? You were a diesel trucking guy, and now you love battery electric trucks. What happened? I mean, I remember the first time I heard about it, I'm like, yeah, right. I mean, that's okay for cars, but we'll never haul freight with batteries.
You can find that and all the stories in our Reverse Course series at hereandnow.org. And keeping with the theme of reharnessing old tech, after the break, we'll find out how NASA scientists fixed a problem with a 46-year-old space probe that had already left the solar system. And I can barely get my internet provider to reboot my modem. Tiziana is on tech support after the break.
This message comes from NPR sponsor, Teladoc Health. There are lots of reasons for wanting to be healthy. Family, work, living a fuller life. Teladoc Health understands. Whether you have diabetes, high blood pressure, or just need to manage your weight, Teladoc Health can help. Visit teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy for more information. That's teladochealth.com/whatsyourwhy. This message comes from NPR sponsor Vuori, a new perspective on performance apparel. Clothing designed with premium fabrics, built to move in, styled for life. For 20% off your first purchase, go to Vuori.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from Betterment, an automated investing and savings app. CEO Sarah Levy shares why Betterment believes cash can be a strategic choice.
There are times when the market is volatile, when customers are a little nervous about investing. We came to understand that there was an opportunity to introduce cash as part of an investing strategy and to give back yields to the customer.
Learn more about high-yield cash accounts at Betterment.com. Investing involves risk. Performance not guaranteed. Cash reserve offered through Betterment LLC and Betterment Securities. Betterment is not a bank.
An aging space probe that is now rocketing beyond the edge of our solar system is sending usable data to NASA again. Voyager 1 had been transmitting gibberish due to a nasty computer glitch, but after 5 months of troubleshooting, scientists finally got Voyager's messages back to making sense. NPR science correspondent Nell Greenfield-Boyce joins us now. Nell, welcome.
Hey!
So listen, Voyager 1 launches in 1977. I want to put that in perspective. That is the same year the first Star Wars movie comes out. It's originally sent to take pictures and study Jupiter and Saturn. That it is still out there and able to talk to Earth is kind of amazing.
I mean, the Voyager mission is legendary. Both Voyager 1 and its twin Voyager 2 are just going and going and going. They have outlived some of their designers and builders, and they're now both in the previously unexplored space between stars, so interstellar space. And, you know, all of their hardware is like 50 years old. I mean, just think of how primitive computers were back in the 1970s.
Yeah, so 50 years old in people years is kind of one thing, but 50 years by tech standards is ancient, so what went wrong?
So back in mid-November, Voyager 1's transmissions kind of stopped making sense. So it normally sends data back in a binary code, but what it was sending back was just alternating ones and zeros that meant nothing. And so NASA's team had to figure out what was going wrong, and it was hard because the spacecraft effectively couldn't talk coherently. It was like it had suffered some kind of stroke. And remember, it's 15 billion miles away, and this is really ancient technology.
15 billion miles away. How did they fix it?
Well, they put together a team, and they basically pulled out all these old yellow documents, like mimeographs from long ago, to look at the computer's design. And they eventually figured out that a memory chip had failed, and this was a hardware problem. So what they had to do was take the software that was supposed to be in that failed memory and upload it to a different part of the computer, basically part that was still working.
I have to give a shout to the mimeograph portion of that answer. That is incredible. And it kind of makes it sound easy. Oh, they just moved the software. I'm guessing that was not easy.
It wasn't, no. I mean, I talked to Linda Spilker. She's the Voyager project scientist. And she told me when they sent the commands, it takes like a day for them to reach Voyager 1 and then a day for the spacecraft's response to come back. And, you know, they were waiting for that response. They were all gathered together in a conference room, nervously sort of munching on peanuts. And when the signal came, it looked good.
Everyone just broke out in cheers and smiles. And it was just a huge celebration. We were, and such relief as well. Voyager 1 was back.
So the first messages they got just reported on its engineering systems, basically showed that the spacecraft was healthy, its antenna is fine, and they still need to do some work so that it can also start to send back data from its science instruments.
So what kind of useful data could it now send to researchers now? Isn't it just moving through the blackness of space?
Well, yes. But other than the Voyager probes, we have never explored this region. I mean, they are way out beyond Pluto. And there is stuff out there, not much of it, but there's dust, there's gases, there's cosmic rays. And every bit of the information on that environment is precious to scientists because it will be decades and decades before we could ever get another probe that far out, billions of miles away.
That's NPR science correspondent Nell Greenfield-Boyce. Nell, thanks.
Thank you.
Over and out for us today. Here and Now Anytime comes from the team behind Here and Now from NPR and WBUR Boston. Today's stories were produced by Sam Rafelson, Peter O'Dowd, and James Mastromarino. Our editors were Micaela Rodriguez, Michael Scotto, Chico Theurti, and Kat Welch. Technical direction from Mike Moschetto and Caleb Green. Mike Moschetto also wrote our theme music, along with Max Liebman and me, Chris Bentley. Our digital producers are Allison Hagen and Grace Griffin. And the executive producer of Here and Now is Carlene Watson. Thanks for listening. We'll be back with you tomorrow.
This message comes from NPR sponsor Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. AI may be the most important new computer technology ever, but AI needs a lot of processing speed, and that gets expensive fast. Upgrade to the next generation of the cloud, Oracle Cloud Infrastructure. OCI is the single platform for your infrastructure, database, application development, and AI needs. Do more and spend less like Uber, 8x8, and Databricks Mosaic. Take a free test drive of OCI at oracle.com/NPR.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR.
This election season, you can expect to hear a lot of news, some of it meaningful, much of it not. Give the Up First podcast 15 minutes, sometimes a little less, and we'll help you sort it out what's going on around the world and at home. 3 stories, 15 minutes, Up First every day. Listen every morning wherever you get your podcasts.